If you have listened to more than 10 episodes of The Ron Van Dam Show in a row, you may be entitled to hazard pay. Fill out two copies of Form 63-B and bring them to Estelle in Human Resources. Don't forget, Estelle is off on Tuesdays. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for the processing of your hazard pay claim. And thank you for listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Estelle no longer works with us.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
We completely got rid of our human resources department because there's no point. There's just no point to it. Not only are there no resources, there are no humans. There's no point to that office. You know, I was concerned about the world being taken over by zombies. That's the least of my worries now. Oh, God. Zombies, that's not so bad comparatively. You're talking about an apocalypse? Hey, apocalypse now! Ron, that's not funny. I'm just not understanding the human race. I don't know why that race shouldn't be taking place. It's just, I don't know what happened to humans. They used to be nice people. Now all of a sudden there's no more humans. They're just a bunch of idiots. I don't. How did this happen? Was it overnight or something? Which was the bad dream? The one I'm in now or the one I was before I went to bed? Do you agree with me? Do you think people are getting weird? I do. You know what? It's just you and me. It's just you and me. That's all that's left. It's you, which is questionable. And then there's me, which is fantastic. So, I don't know. There's not much left. Yeah. You know, if people would just walk around and shut up, I think this would be a wonderful world. Not that I'm saying that people should, like, have speech problems or wouldn't be able to talk or something like that because of a vocal condition. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if people didn't talk so much, the only people that should be talking are me and you. Beyond that, not necessary. I wish I could be commanding with people, you know, like if they start talking to me, hey, Ron, how are you? Last week I went to school, and then I wish I could just put up my finger and go, up, 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 silence, please. I did a show about that. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I can't remember now because I have no concept of time. But I was talking about the library, how that is my safe place. You know, most people, when you say meditate, think of a waterfall and the cascading water and the lovely sounds and the peacefulness. No, waterfalls are very loud. No, I think of the library. I think of sitting at a table in the library where everybody's quiet, as I said a few days ago, and then there's a lot of sexy librarians standing around, male or female, whatever your preference may be. That's my safe place. That's my comfort place. I picture myself in a library. I know. I understand. Don't even say it. Don't even say it. I know what you're going to say. Why can't the world just be quiet and shut up?
Please be quiet. 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 please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
If only. Huh? Yeah. You know who really won't shut up? And it has nothing to do with politics. It has something to do with assholes. Donald Trump will not shut up. Don, who cares what you think? My God, shut your mouth for once. Maybe more people would vote for you if you just shut the hell up. Nothing that comes out of your mouth is of any kind of consequence to anything.
Whatever.
I'm serious. What's wrong with you, man? See a psychologist or something. God, you need help badly. Shut up. Can you believe I said that? I know, controversial, right? Anyway, I should write a book called If Only. It'd be like 2,000 pages long. Nobody would read it because it's too long. My audiobook would be like 7 months to listen to it. If only, right? Yeah, I think I'll do that. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to do that. I have been wanting to write a book for so long. I wrote one book already called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. It's available on Amazon. It's about 10, 15 years old, but nonetheless, I wrote it. About weddings, about the things that go on behind the scenes, about the stressed out situations, how brides become crazy and grooms become, you better shut up and just stop being so stupid kind of thing. All the venue halls, all the vendors that are raping you for money because it's your wedding, now you'll pay anything. The stress, all that kind of thing. It has nothing to do with the wedding anymore. It has to do with throwing a party. I mean, seriously. Come on, 50% of the marriages end in divorce. Why are you wasting your money? You should be getting married at Arby's or Burger King or something. Or Wendy's, where the hamburgers are square. What's up with that, Wendy? What's up with that? Dave Thomas was the founder, named it after his daughter or his lover. I have no idea which. And for some reason, Dave said, hey, here's an idea. Let's make the hamburgers square because the buns are round. Okay, did you ever try to fit a square peg in a round hole, Dave? Burger King, I think the burgers are flame broiled. Yeah, right. Yeah, fresh off the barbecue. Yeah, right. I don't think so. It doesn't taste like it. McDonald's, I believe they're fried. Oh, that's healthy. I don't know what, they put it on a griddle or something there. Wendy's, I'm not sure what's going on with them. I don't know how those things are made. They blow on them. I don't know what they do with their meat, so to speak. Excuse me for that reference. But I never understood the square. I don't even know. I've been into Wendy's a few times just to case the joint. And I don't know. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. Wendy's never, I don't know. I want to meet Wendy. It's what I want to do. I want to ask Wendy questions. I want to see her on 60 Minutes in a face-to-face interview with one of those 17 reporters, and only two of them are on the air at a time for a show. I mean, I don't know. They're paying 17 reporters, on-air reporters, and you only see two of them. I want to see Wendy sitting there, and I want to see I want her grilled. I want her grilled, or so to speak. I want Wendy grilled as to why the hamburgers are square and how do you do that? I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing with that? What are you doing? Frying them, broiling them? What are you doing? What are you doing at them? You stare at them until they get hot. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, McDonald's. McDonald's is a funny place. Oh my God. They've got that freaking clown. Did they remove Ronald McDonald? Because I don't think that was working out. I have been scared by circus clowns since the day I was born, and so is half America. So why you would make that some type of a icon for your hamburger chain? Apparently it worked, but I don't know why. I don't get it. It's tailored for kids, and you think kids like clowns? No, they don't. It scares the hell out of them. If there was a clown sitting in their room when they tried to go to sleep, these kids would screech and probably pass out. I mean, clowns are not friendly, wonderful people. Who got this idea that a clown was entertaining? No, it's freaky. It's freaked up. Clowns are like, what? Why is all that makeup on your face? What the hell are you doing? How is that entertaining to me? And then they have face painting. Oh my God, why would you walk around like a circus clown? Do you find that attractive? What are you doing that for? I can get a tattoo here and there. I somewhat understand that. Sure, okay, not a problem. But painting your face? What's wrong with you? Ron, there are a lot of tribes in a lot of different countries that paint their face. It's a tribal tradition. Okay, doesn't make it right. What do you want to do today, Bob? I don't know. I guess I'll paint my face. All right, sounds like fun. Can I help? Nah, I can do it myself. We don't have any mirrors, though. It's all right. It doesn't matter. But you look stupid with paint all over your face. Who cares? There's nothing to do anyway. There's no TV. It's like being Amish. What the hell are you going to do all day? What are you going to do? Whittle a piece of sticks? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Knit a blanket? What the hell are you going to do all day? Feed the horse? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. The horse feed itself. I got to go paint my face. I'm depressed.
Why?
Because it's the winter. It gets dark early. Walking around, I think people turn around and they laugh.
Hey, they're laughing because you're painting your face.
I know. It's just nothing else to do, that's all. I think I'll paint my face yellow today.
What was it yesterday?
Blue. I was a member of Blue Man Group for a while. But it was stupid, I realized, after a while. They asked me to paint my face blue and then to bang on drums and unroll toilet paper. It's like, wow, come on, seriously.
But people like that. They pay money to go to the theater to watch that.
I know. I'm performing in front of a bunch of schmucks and idiots. I'm going to go paint my face. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, please. Please leave me alone.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. So, kids, you want to paint your face? That's how you're going to turn out. Because you can't paint your face later in life. You can't show up at work with your face painted. Sure, you can have little orange streaks, little orange streaks in your hair. You can do that. You know, you can do that. You can have a tattoo maybe here and there. But you can't go to school with your face painted. They will throw you out. And they'll also put you through a therapy session that would probably be well needed at the time. So Ronald McDonald, they had this big plaster caster thing of Ronald McDonald sitting on a bench in all the McDonald's. Do you remember that? I couldn't eat. I couldn't go there. I can't eat in front of a clown. What? I can't do that. It's just stupid. Then you go to Burger King. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Burger King. You wear a paper crown on your head, and then you forgot to take it off, and then you went to the funeral like that. Oh, my God, huh? You're the king. Have it your way. All right, I'll have it my way. I won't go at all. How about that? Although Burger King does have onion rings that the other places don't have. They're poison. They're horrible, but they're so freaking tasty. It's like smack or cocaine.
Give me the onion rings. Give them to me now.
What size do you want?
Bucket. I want a bucket of onion rings.
But you'll die, you know that? I don't care. I'm depressed. My face is painted and there's nothing to do but eat onion rings at this point. Anyway. So I don't understand Wendy's. I don't get you, man. I don't understand what you're doing there. I think Wendy's has chili. Oh, okay, that's not so bad. I guess that's all right. I don't know. And some people go to Wendy's and Burger King and McDonald's for their salads. Known for their salads, that's for sure. I don't know.
I don't know. People get excited at McDonald's because around this time of year, guess what happens at McDonald's? Go on, take a guess. I'll wait. I got nothing else to do but paint my face. Do you know what they do this time of year, every year at McDonald's? Not all of them, but most of them. They bring back the McRib.
Don't say that out loud.
Yes, they bring back the McRib. I know. I don't think that's actually meat. I think it's reconstituted sawdust with barbecue flavoring. I think that's all that is on a stick. But they call it the McRib, and people just, oh my God, I could die for it. Your choices are weird. Death or not having the McRib? No, that doesn't make sense. That's too extreme. That's too extreme. All this chocolate, I could die for it. Okay, go on. Be my guest. One less person on the planet for a stupid reason. Help yourself. Help yourself. Anyway, yeah, the McRib. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a McRib. I don't know. They take the bone out. Otherwise, people would die, and that wouldn't be good for McDonald's. Do you know in what year McDonald's stopped posting on their signage the number of burgers that they sold because they couldn't fit it on the sign anymore? It was cute when they opened up. You would drive by a McDonald's back in 1930, or I don't have no idea when these things started, in the 50s or 40s or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't look it up. I don't Google. I don't do that shit. But can you imagine driving by a McDonald's? Look, Betty. Look, Betty. 10 were sold. Whoa, okay. I don't know if that's very good. No, 10,000. That's still not very good. Still not very good. Yeah, and then it went to like 20 billion and 100 billion. And then they said, we can't put this up on the sign anymore. So let's just put welcome to McDonald's, a shitload of burgers sold. That's about it. It's about as far as you can go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a thing, by the way. That's a thing. There's 100, 1,000, a million, a billion, a trillion, a quadrillion, and then there's just a shitload. I mean, that's really all we can say at this point.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy All-Beef Chicken Sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy All-Beef Chicken Sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Richard Pickering joins us now. He's Deputy Executive Director and Senior Historian with the Plymouth Patuxent Museums. And we're talking about the history of Plymouth. Guess why? Because that's America's town, and Thanksgiving's coming up. Quite big festivities coming up, huh?
It is. I'm looking forward to Saturday with the wonderful Thanksgiving parade that's been a tradition now for 2 decades. And I think everybody should be here to see the parade at some point in their lives, because in just a short amount of time, you get 400 years of American history and 12,000 years of Wampanoag history. It's an amazing thing to see.
It is. I mean, most people connect Plymouth with Plymouth Rock and the Mayflowers. Is that accurate?
It is. That as I'm talking to you, I'm standing right near Mayflower, too. And it's been on the waterfront since 1957 and toured by more than 27 million people over the course of all that time. And what I've discovered in my time with the museum is it's really the most recognizable word related to Plymouth, mm-hmm. along with Plymouth Rock. Those are the two big icons.
Yes. It's interesting how Plymouth Rock, I mean, you would picture that it's a gigantic boulder or something, but I guess over the years, it is indeed just a rock, right?
One of the funniest experiences I ever had at the Rock, Ron, I spent a day with Joan Rivers, and I was showing her the rock and answering all her historic questions. She was brilliant, but as we walk away from the rock, she puts her hand on my elbow and she says, "Richard, Plymouth Rock is about as big as Danny DeVito."
I think Danny's a little bit bigger, but that's okay. What other facts are that we don't know? Plymouth, like that was the name of an English location, right?
It was, and a lot of people think that the town of Plymouth in Massachusetts is named Plymouth because the last place they left from in England was Plymouth, UK. But that's not the case at all. Captain John Smith of Pocahontas fame was here in 1614 mapping New England, and he took the map with no names on it, and it was presented to Prince Charles. So King James, the first son, Charles, named everything, and he named this place Plymouth. So it was already Plymouth before Mayflower pulled into the harbor.
Wow. How did the significance of turkeys become the centerpiece on Thanksgiving? Did it have anything to do with Plymouth?
What cracks me up, Ron, is in recent years there's been this attempt to say there was no turkey at the first Thanksgiving just because it becomes the centerpiece after the 1700s. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I just got this picture when people would go on air and say there were no turkeys at the first Thanksgiving, of the pilgrim hunters that were sent out prior to the feast who took enough fowl to last the entire company a week. But they're in the woods with their blunderbusses and muskets going, "No, can't take the iconic turkey. We got to leave that behind."
Ah, interesting. Wow. Okay. Was there a representative from Ocean Spray back 420 years ago?
We suspect there might have been cranberries at the feast, but used almost as kind of like a false vinegar.
Yes.
Because they wouldn't have been able to be sweetened by sugar as we eat them.
My goodness. Well, Plymouth is a fascinating place to visit, and it's not just the rock and the Mayflower too. There's a recreation replica of the way the village used to be, with working people speaking like that. There's tons to do. It actually can be a destination point, right?
It is, and now the town of Plymouth is having an explosion of amazing restaurants. So a person could come to Plymouth and have no interest in history, but have interest in the arts or interest in food. We have some amazing breweries as well here in town.
Yes.
So it's a complete experience.
It sure is. It's quite a deal. Now the parade itself, I know it's televised locally. Is there some way to see it throughout the country?
I believe it is going to be televised nationally later.
Good.
But people can receive more information about that by visiting the seeplymouth.com website. So SEEPLYMOUTH.com, and they'll get all the details about the parade and potential broadcast.
Wow. Hey, before we leave, are there any other myths that we can break here?
Well, in recent years, some have attempted to depict the holiday not as one of two communities coming together in stability and support, but with a kind of conflict. And to be truthful, Ron, I think that has more to do with us as Americans right now and how distrustful and uncivil we are one to another.
Yes.
And we project that backwards on our ancestors. And all of the people that were here in 1621, whether you're a Mayflower descendant or whether you're a Wampanoag person, they are our civic ancestors because they handed us one of the great American traditions. And we need to respect it by being at our best on Thanksgiving Day.
Really well put, Richard, because that's absolutely true. I mean, we're going in the wrong direction here, or possibly could, so I'm going to be careful. But that is a symbol of people coming together and sharing a meal and bringing people in who you haven't seen in a while, except for that Uncle Sid, man. He's crazy. That guy's nuts. Right. We all have one of those, don't we?
We do.
Yes, we do. Okay, that's why they have the turkey, so you can fall asleep at the end, because that's a pretty good thing, too.
You can put Uncle Sid at the children's table this year.
Yes, and put the children's table in the garage. Okay. Anyway, hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you. One more time where we could go to get more information, perhaps plan a holiday in the area.
You want to visit the Sea Plymouth website, SEEPLYMOUTH.com.
Great. He's Richard Pickering. He's a walking historian about Plymouth. Look him up. Do you have a website, Richard?
People can find me on the museum's website, which is www.plimoth.org. So it's spelled in the antique way, not like the modern town.
Gotcha. Okay. Have a great time down there, and thanks, and we look forward to seeing the parade, and you take care.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.